This is Morning Edition on 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Hiplin. Next week, the first in a series of sentencing hearings will be held for former Arkansas lawmakers, a college president, and others who were convicted or pleaded guilty to their roles in a wide-ranging corruption scheme. It's a complicated story, largely centered around Rusty Cranford, a powerful lobbyist. Reporter David Ramsey wrote about this for the Arkansas Nonprofit News Network. It's featured as the cover story on the current Arkansas Times. Hi, David.
Hey, Michael.
You did extensive reporting on this, looking at court filings involving more than 30 current and former lawmakers, state officials, lobbyists, and associates of Rusty Cranford. This has been such a complicated case, I don't think most people realize just how extensive this was. First, talk about Cranford. Who was he, and what was he trying to make happen?
So Rusty Cranford was a longtime Arkansas lobbyist, and he also was an executive at a healthcare nonprofit, which is now known as Preferred Family Healthcare. And he kind of had a murky role at that particular nonprofit where he was both an executive but also an outside consultant. So he was kind of, for a number of years, he was a relatively, I would say, lower tier lobbyist, but he started to kind of get a niche in behavioral health providers, which might not sound like an obvious choice for graft. You know, in terms of the folks that are doing the work on the ground, these are very important services for some of the state's most needy citizens. But the pot of money, the Medicaid budget in Arkansas, state and federal money, is over $7 billion. And so this proved a kind of tempting pool of money for some folks that were nefarious actors. And Rusty Cranford, over time, grew to become an extremely powerful lobbyist with quite a lot of sway over a handful of legislators. And what he eventually admitted to is that part of the way that he was doing this was through bribes and other illicit means to gain influence.
And what was Cranford providing to lawmakers, and how many are we talking about?
Yeah, so they had a number of strategies to influence lawmakers, and we've had three that have either pleaded guilty or, in the case of John Woods, been found guilty by a jury. So that was John Woods and then a former senator, Micah Neal, a former state representative, pleaded guilty. Hank Wilkins, who served both in the House and the Senate, pleaded guilty. Former state representative Eddie Cooper also pleaded guilty. Cooper also was an executive at the same nonprofit that's now known as Preferred Family. So you have four legislators who have pleaded guilty on federal corruption charges, and that would include things like, a lot of it was cash bribes, cash checks, wire transfers, that kind of thing. You also had other sorts of more creative perks. In the case of John Woods, Cranford arranged for his then fiance to get a job at an affiliate of Preferred Family. It was, at that time, had another name, but the same basic nonprofit. And it turns out that she was, you know, basically paid about twice what the job was worth. Woods was also hooked up with hotel rooms in St. Louis and nice tickets to the 2013 World Series. And in addition to Woods, the other person who was gifted the World Series trip was Jeremy Hutchinson. Now, we should say that he has not been charged and he denies wrongdoing. But what Cranford stated in his plea is that Preferred Family and other Cranford clients paid for Hutchinson to be an attorney. Now, this is kind of a gray area in the law. It's not against the law for a legislator who is also an attorney to vote on bills, for example, that might happen to impact clients that the attorney has. But what is illegal, and what Cranford alleges in his plea, is if there's a quid pro quo where you're essentially paying a lawyer actually to do legislative work on behalf of those clients. And that's the allegation there. Again, Hutchinson denies wrongdoing. Yet another senator who has not been explicitly identified but bears some resemblance in a plea entered by Yet another one of Cranford's clients is Michael Lamoureux. He likewise denies wrongdoing, but that was a similar situation where the alleged kind of bribe or quid pro quo was through legal fees. So they're signing up someone to be an attorney, and the claim is that by federal prosecutors is that agreement actually involved the attorney then in the legislature doing beneficial action on their behalf.
Well, one of the people you mentioned, Hank Wilkins IV, is scheduled to be sentenced on Wednesday, August 29th. But this seems to go even beyond cash bribes. You report that federal authorities even allege that Cranford planned to hire an old family friend to murder a witness who was cooperating in the investigation.
That's right. So a lobbyist who was from Pennsylvania, who there was a kind of similar kickback scheme where they have admitted that Cranford sort of arranged for him to be hired by Preferred Family and got kickbacks in exchange for that. His name is D.A. Jones, and he was sort of one of the first to plead guilty and kind of start the dominoes going. And that was back in December of last year. And it became clear that he was cooperating with federal investigators who were looking at Cranford. And so at that point, Cranford basically, in some rambling conversations with a family friend, he basically says that D.A. Jones, this lobbyist in Pennsylvania, needs to be gone. And according to the family friend, who unfortunately for Cranford turned out to be a confidential informant for the FBI, Cranford sort of, you know, made a gun shooting gesture with his index finger and arranged to pay a down payment to have him killed. Now, there's been no charge in this alleged murder for hire plot, but it certainly added a salacious element to the whole story. And the magistrate judge in Missouri, where Cranford is being held, found that the allegations of the murder for hire plot and also that, I mean, there were some other, you know, when Cranford was arrested, he had more than $17,000 in cash in his backpack and $100 bills. He had some prescription pills that he didn't have a prescription for on his possession. And the feds also alleged that he had kind of changed his hair and was exhibiting signs of fleeing. So for that reason, he was held without bail and remains in a county jail in Missouri awaiting sentencing. And at this point, he is cooperating with the feds now that he has pleaded guilty. So it's unclear what will happen with this alleged murder for hire plot.
But through his attorney, Cranford declined to comment for your story.
That's correct. I suspect that his legal situation is a bit complicated. And we should say that, you know, the fact that he is cooperating with the feds at this point, I think, speaks to what a lot of people are predicting around the Capitol, which is that the story is far from over, that we may see more indictments and pleas in the coming months. There may be others who are implicated that have not come out yet. So this will be ongoing, would be my prediction.
Well, David, let's talk more in the coming weeks as these lawmakers and others face sentencing.
Sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. That's David Ramsey, who wrote about the wide-ranging corruption investigation for the Arkansas Nonprofit News Network. This is KUAR 89.1. In Little Rock, I'm Michael Hiplin.